I've done a lot on the Iditarod. I've been shooting the Iditarod since the mid-'80s as well.
It seems back in the 80s, everybody in the world wasn't shooting nature photography or wildlife photography in Alaska. Do you feel that the field is a little crowded now?
I get asked that a lot because I think back in the 80s, you could make a living shooting some scenics, landscapes, wildlife, and so forth. And, of course, times have changed, partly because of digital, but also because of the economy and because of other factors. The market was pretty saturated with standard portrait shots of wildlife and so forth. So I think people were looking for a little bit more. And by people, I mean not only editors of magazines, but their readership. So the environmental portrait kind of evolved where we were starting to shoot animal behavior more and animals in context with other situations that we might find. As the 80s and 90s evolved with computers and digital things, it was easier for the average person, if they came upon something they were lucky enough to shoot, to submit them to either magazines or even stock agencies. And so the market got a little flooded. Things were a little harder to break away from the crowd and take the exceptional pictures and get them submitted to the right agencies.
Now, I've never heard of a pro bono photographer before. I've heard of pro bono lawyers, doctors, that kind of thing. So tell me about that idea.
So I made it a kind of a goal of mine about 5, 6, 7 years ago to actively pursue maybe 2 or 3 projects that help some community or some cause that I believe in and help with my talents combined with other talents, as long as I know that, number one, the organization truly doesn't have a budget that would support what the regular rate would be for a paid job, and number two, that I feel that that they're a legitimate organization, that they're going to use these for the purposes that they say. So I like to help the organizations that I've always believed in, and those are either organizations that have to do with our health or the health of the land or the health of animals, which is all basically related. So I've been helping out the American Cancer Society. I've been working with conservation organizations, and that's kind of how this project started in Mexico. I didn't really start it. I came in, you know, kind of midfield here, where they definitely needed some help with promotion and some images to help rally some of the people behind their cause.
How did you hear of them? Through organizations you've already done work with?
No, that's an area that's just above a small pueblo, and the way I heard about it is that I've been coming here for about 20 years because we have some land there, and my wife's family lives there, so or lives nearby there, and they have. Between the last time I visited there last year and this year, they've been fighting this one developer who has pretty much gone ahead and clear-cut 2 or 3 different areas there without permission in an area that was just outside the city limits. And what that means is that it was subject to federal laws, which were already on the books, that protected this area. So this has been one man who's done this in other places. He's been very intimidating and aggressive towards anybody who's disagreed with him or tried to stop him. So I felt that this was the kind of thing that needs some help.
Was your intention, though, to call attention to the environmental degradation or to see if you could get some kind of penalty thrown at this fellow who probably, you know, La Mordita paid his way into legal status?
Yeah, exactly. He was able to bribe some officials there to write letters, one letter in particular, where a couple of them went out with him and he showed him the land that he had already cut. And astonishingly enough, they wrote a letter that said, "We don't see any problem here. There are no trees, and therefore he didn't cut any down." And as absolutely ridiculous as that sounds, that's exactly what they said. One, I wanted to broaden this out to a larger audience. This is a small pueblo here. the people are dealing with their own issues of family. They don't have the money, or in many ways the backbone to stand up to somebody who is physically, emotionally aggressive and intimidating. And if we can't find support in Mexico, perhaps there are groups in other countries, either nearby or the U.S., that can provide some sort of advice or help.
Clear cutting is only going to wash away the topsoil. It's also going to impact the drinking water and create a health issue for the human population. And can you tell me a little more about that?
The forest is a lot more than trees. It's a water supply for the community. To approach this on not only a cosmetic basis, but a utilitarian basis, I think is the right way to go. And again, the issue is generating that concern from a health standpoint so the people can relate to it, the people locally and the people in other countries. That's what I hope to do in getting the photos published. Once we get the word around in enough places, we'll start generating the concern from the public and hopefully from editors and companies that are involved in these types of Good Samaritan pro bono issues.